I greet you this morning in Jesus' name. It's a blessing to be in the house of God. I do miss several who are not here, especially Elmer. He was supposed to have the message this morning. But do you want to be a willing vessel, a servant? With it being the Sunday before Christmas, I'd like to have it geared a little bit towards Christmas. I've titled the message this morning, Jesus' Identity. Whenever there's a name that has ends with an S, like James, for instance, and you want to make it plural, you don't say James's. You put that little apostrophe behind it. Is that right, teachers? And then you say James' Identity. Now, when you say Mike's Identity, you put the S behind it. So, Jesus' Identity. And I was thinking about identity, I had to think of Christmas and the season that we're in, and a lot of times there are gifts that are given. I know at home at our table we have a number of gifts that are wrapped, and there's only a select few that know what's in some of the gifts. Some of us have guesses maybe, but we haven't actually seen and identified what's in the gift. And so, you know, whenever the time is that we choose as a family to open the gifts, we'll, you know, take off the wrapping paper, we'll open the box, and we look inside, maybe we pull out the object, and we identify the object, what it is. And sometimes in life, we misidentify things. And I had to think of that, you know, if you would open up your Christmas gift, and somebody would have given you a piece of rope for whatever reason, and you would misidentify that piece of rope as a snake, you know, especially, and I know I would too, but especially you ladies, you know, there probably would be some shrieking and, yeah, you know, get rid of that thing right quick. And on the other hand, if it were a real snake and you would identify it as a rope that is harmless, you know, then, you know, the rope identified as a snake wouldn't cause you any harm other than maybe a heart attack. Versus, you know, high blood pressure or whatever, versus when you identify a snake as a rope, you could be bitten by, you know, a poisonous snake, and it could cause your death that way, a lot of pain or whatever. So I believe it's important this morning we look at Jesus, that we identify him correctly. And, you know, who is the one who would like for us to identify Jesus incorrectly, to misidentify Jesus? It's actually the snake, isn't it? You know, he wants us to identify him as God. Well, he's not, but Jesus is. So I'd like to read some of the Christmas story here. We'll start in Matthew chapter 1, and as I read this in verse 18, as I read this passage of Scripture, I would like for you to be looking for the identity of Jesus in this passage of Scripture, and then I'll just open it up briefly. If you have seen anything in there that identifies Jesus, feel free to share that. That would be the identity of Jesus. So in Matthew 1 verse 18 it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is, God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Have any of you seen anything in there that speaks of the identity of Jesus? James?
The way Joseph handled this,
Okay. All right. I hadn't thought of that, but yeah. Okay. In other words, he was being just. Okay. Yes. Very good. Anyone else? Okay. So what does that tell us? Holy, yes. Okay. Yeah, like that. Just, holy. Mm-hmm. Very good. Anyone else? Part of the Trinity. Okay. Yes. Did you have a specific verse that stood out to you on that? Okay, yes. All right. Very well. That's good. Yes, Emmanuel, which be interpreted God with us. I'm not sure if Emmanuel is actually part of the identity or not, but it is part of, I guess it would be, because it's who he is. He is God. He is everywhere. And one of those places is with us, believers. The identity of Jesus. Let's go on in chapter 2, in verse 1 through 23. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? Now again, watch for the identity. For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the young men, the wise men, and inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. Okay, again, anyone have anything that stood out to you identifying Jesus? Governor, yes. The purpose of a governor. I preached a message on that here some time ago, of a governor that regulates. And we need a governor in our life, don't we? You know, our lives tend to be, you know, lows way down here and highs way up here. We're going by our feelings, and we need a governor. The Spirit of God is working, was made available to us through Jesus Christ to govern our lives and keep us more on an even keel. Joy is, you know, constant In the good times, joy is there. In the bad times, joy is there. You know, it's constant. So, yeah, like that. Anyone else? King of the Jews, yes. Thank you. So, who are the Jews? Jesus identifies as a king of the Jews. Who are the Jews today? His people, yes. There's a verse in a verse in Romans that talks about that he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. So it's of the heart, it's of faith. We are spiritual Jews. Those if we believe in Jesus Christ as the King, our King, then he is then we are Jews. We become Jews. We are made Jews. Anyone else? Nazarite, okay. All right. Okay. All right. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, if not, let's go over to Luke chapter 2. There's at least one more there in that passage that is also covered here in Luke. We'll break in here in verse 26 through 38 in Luke chapter 1. First of all, it says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Did you notice any identities in that passage? Son of the Highest, yes. And there's another one about a son. Son of God, that's right. So do you think that is critical for us today, that we identify Jesus as the Son of God? Do you think it was important that Jesus identified himself as the Son of God? I believe it was. And today, he still is the Son of God. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, day, and forever. See, we're going to have to move along here. In Luke chapter 2, we have the account of Simeon and what was the lady's name? The widow, Anna the prophetess, how they came into the temple when Jesus' parents, Joseph and Mary, took Jesus to the temple and consecrated him to God, did their sacrifice thing there. And this man, the name of Simeon, was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. This is in verse 26 of Luke chapter 2, that he should not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And by the way, that is another identity of Jesus, is Christ, or Messiah. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took the child in his arms, it says, and he blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And that is one of the words that we were missing in the previous chapter in Matthew. He shall save his people from their sins. He identifies as our Savior. I love it. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And he was talking about this little baby that he was holding. So he cannot deny himself. God is in that baby, because he's still the same being. The little flesh baby was not the real Jesus. The real Jesus was the Spirit that was attached, if you will. I'm not sure how that all is, but we know that we're body, soul, and spirit. So the real Jesus, the real God, was the Spirit. And that is what Simeon was saying. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. This little baby, this Spirit that is here, this is our salvation. This is our Savior. He was identifying Jesus correctly. Not identifying him as a snake, but as our Savior, our King, the Son of God. He says, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And today we are spiritual Israel. Those who believe, we are spiritual Jews. We belong to him, those of us who believe. We are not cast out. We are brought in. We are not aliens anymore. You know, we had been. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy, reconciled us, brought us back. He brought us into the fold. We were outside, but now he says, I have brought you in, because we identify Jesus correctly. When we fail to identify Jesus correctly, we fail to believe, then we remain aliens, outcasts from the commonwealth of Israel. We don't have a part in that because we don't believe. And in John chapter 3, it talks about the light having been given, and men didn't come to the light because they hated the light, because their deeds were evil. They were unbelievers. They continued in unbelief. And the Bible says that there is condemnation if we continue in unbelief. But that when we believe, there is no more condemnation, but that we are now set free. We are now brought into the house of Israel. We are brought into the part of spiritual Jews. And that is the beauty of the identifying Jesus correctly. When we look at truth, and truth will always bring us to truth. Jesus says in identifying himself also in John chapter 14, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He cannot deny himself, because truth cannot lie. Truth will always speak truth. And he is the only way. He said, no man comes to the Father but by me. He is the only way. And even though we try to make and create other ways, it cannot happen, because Jesus is the only way. We must identify him as the way. We must identify him as the truth. We must identify him as life. You know, apart from him, there is no life. In John chapter 1, it says that Jesus is the Word, and that the Word was in the beginning with God, and that the Word is God, or was God. And we identify him as God. And John the Baptist identified him as the true light which comes into the world, and it lights every man that comes into the world. And every man, every person is given a chance to identify Jesus correctly. So the condemnation is this, that the light is coming to the world and men rejected light, and they didn't want to come to the light because their deeds were evil, and they didn't want to believe. They didn't want to do that because they didn't want to continue doing their evil deeds. They wanted to continue on in sin and doing the things that they thought was life, when actually it was death. And that was the deception that the devil is seeking to deceive us with today. He wants us to identify Jesus incorrectly. He wants us to think that life is somehow in the things that we enjoy doing, the sins that we enjoy doing, when life is actually in ceasing from sinning, and life is in coming in surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is where real life is. When we come to the foot of the cross and we acknowledge Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we surrender our lives to him, and we take up our cross and we walk with him, and we walk in truth. And he is that true light, and he is the only one that can really give us life and meaning and fulfillment in life. You know, but Satan wants us to somehow identify with other things and misidentify Jesus Christ. He doesn't want us to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. You know, when Philip was walking on that road, when the Lord took him in the Spirit to this place where this eunuch was riding in his chariot, and it says that Philip joined himself to the chariot on the command of the Holy Spirit, and he asked the eunuch, he said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he had been reading there from Isaiah about him being as a sheep before her shearers was dumb, as a lamb led to slaughter. And the eunuch said, "Well, I can't understand if nobody explains this to me." So it says Philip opened his mouth and he preached unto him Jesus. And as they were going along, the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe, you may." And the eunuch's confession was, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He identified Jesus correctly. When Philip preached to him Jesus, the Holy Spirit came to him and he opened his eyes so that the eunuch could see and it could identify this man, Jesus, as the Son of God. And they went down into the water. The eunuch was baptized. He came up into his chariot. Philip was taken from him and appeared in another place. I forget how many miles away that was, but quite a number of miles away. And it says the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. And that is what happens when we identify Jesus correctly and we surrender our lives to him. The light shines into our heart, and he says that he gives to us power to become the sons of God. You know, to become children of God. He gives us that power. To as many as received him, he says, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. But we must identify Jesus correctly. We must come to the light. We must allow that light to shine into our heart and to take that knowledge that we have in our head and put it in our heart. And because it says that with the heart, man believeth unto salvation. With the mouth, confession is made, but with the heart, we believe unto salvation. In John chapter 1, it also says that John was there with his disciples, and he looked out and he saw Jesus, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So he identified him as the Lamb that was to be slain. And we read of that Lamb in Revelation when John, again, this was the other John, not John the Baptist, but John the disciple, he wept because they couldn't find anyone that was worthy to open this book. And the angel came to him and he said, "Don't weep." He said, because look, he said, "The Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to open this book." And John opened his eyes and he looked, and he said he saw a lamb that stood there, a lamb as it had been slain, stood there, and he had opened that book. So we see again that Jesus identifies as the Lamb, and that is typical of the Old Testament, the Lamb that was brought, that was slain, that was given as a sacrifice, you know, which could by no way really take away our sin. It was just a forerunner of Jesus Christ with a type of Christ. Jesus identifies as the Lamb of God, the Immaculate Lamb, the perfect Lamb that was brought, that was sacrificed, gave himself as a sacrifice for our sin. The second time when Jesus comes, he's not going to be coming as a lamb, but he's going to be coming as a lion, and he's going to be coming with a roar. And it says there will be a trumpet that will be blowing, and it says that every eye will see him. We read the account in Acts where Jesus ascended into heaven. It says that Jesus ascended, and then a cloud received him out of their sight. And they couldn't see him anymore. So if you would have a video of that and you could reverse that, maybe a little bit like it's going to be when Jesus returns. You know, maybe all of a sudden the clouds will open. It says in one place in Scripture that every eye shall see him. There will be the trumpet sound, and when we'll look up, and every eye will see him, the Lion of the tribe of Judah returning for his bride. Who is his bride? Those who believe. Those who have been justified. Those who identify Jesus correctly. Those who don't listen to the snake anymore, but who listen to Jesus. And Jesus said in John chapter 10, he identifies as the door. He says, if we come in through the door, and he says, I am the good shepherd. He says, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Do we want to identify with him this morning? Do we want to be identified with him as sons and daughters? He says in Corinthians, he says, come out from among them and be ye separate, and I will receive you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. I believe we all want to be part of that, don't we? We all want to be part of that kingdom. We want to identify Jesus correctly. He is worthy. Jesus also identified as his servant. If we read in Philippians chapter 2, it says that, tells us to let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of his servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We have the account of Jesus when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. He was led of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And the first thing that when he was out there for 40 days and 40 nights without eating, it says that the devil came to him and he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And Jesus, if he wouldn't have correctly identified himself as the Son of God, he would have probably gone into all kinds of argument and defense about how he really is the Son of God. Did he do that? No. He simply quoted Scripture. Now I'll turn to that. It's in Matthew chapter 4. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He identified himself correctly. And we back up a little bit. When Jesus was 12 years old, I think that would have been in Luke chapter 2. Do we have any young people here today who are 12 years old? Raise your hand if you're 12. Okay, we have one at least. So maybe some 11-year-olds and some 13-year-olds. But when Jesus was 12 years old, he went with his parents to Jerusalem, and his parents left, and then they discovered, well, Jesus wasn't with them. Steve and Edith, how would you feel if you would have gone, 3 days' journey or whatever it was to Jerusalem, and Virginia would be with you, and then you left and you went a day's journey back home, and all of a sudden you discover Virginia's not with you anymore? You wouldn't have any idea where she is. I mean, I'd be freaked out as a dad. I'd be hightailing it back there to try to find my daughter, or in this case, son. Well, that's what Joseph and Mary did. They thought he was with someone else, and then at the end of the first day, all of a sudden, well, Jesus isn't here. So they went hightailing back to Jerusalem with their four ways on, and going to find Jesus here. And where did they find him? Sitting in the temple, answering the questions of the religious leaders. And they were astonished at his doctrine, at what he was teaching them. And his parents, well, why are you doing this? And Jesus, well, why are you looking for me? Don't you know I've got to be about my Father's business? He was already identifying as the Son of God. And it tells us in that scripture that he went home with them and he was subject unto them. This thing has been going through my mind for some time now. I don't know where I got this. A long time ago, I had this in my mind that children were playing when Jesus was a young lad, and they had made clay birds, and that Jesus' birds up and flew away. And so I said, well, I'm going to see if I can find, I thought maybe the books of Apocrypha or somewhere would have that in there. Well, I couldn't find anything in that. And then I Googled it. And here I find that I didn't take a whole lot of time researching it, but from what Google said, it appears like it may be in the book of Islam, the Quran, that account. So whether or not it's true, I don't know, but I believe it could have been. You know, the Bible does tell us the first miracle that Jesus did was in Cana of Galilee when he turned water into wine. But anyway, the point I wanted to make is how that Jesus identified himself correctly. And because of that, he was able to walk for 30-some years on this earth, tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin, because he identified as the Son of God. And when the devil put that thing out there, the question, are you really the Son of God? He didn't even have to answer that, because he knew who he was. And the devil did it another time. He said in verse 6, if you are the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge. Now the devil uses scripture, the old snake. Charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Jesus said unto him, again, just use scripture, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I love it. The identification. He knew who he was. And this morning, my mind went to the story of the scapegoat in the Old Testament in Leviticus, where it talks about how the priests, they were supposed to get two young goats from the flock and bring them in, and they were supposed to cast lots on these two goats. And one of them was supposed to be the Lord's goat that was killed, and it was offered for sacrifice for the sin. The other one, the priests would go, in this case it was Aaron, and he would lay both of his hands on this little goat's head, and he would put the sins, iniquity of the people on this goat. And then they would find a fit man. I'm not sure if they meant a righteous man or a man that was physically fit. I'm not sure what they meant by that, but it says a fit man. And that man would be appointed to take that scapegoat and lead him out into the wilderness, totally uninhabited place, and release him. Let him go to wander in the wilderness, an outcast. And then the man, when he came back in, before he could come back into the camp, he had to take a bath and wash his clothes, so he's not contaminated with the sin, I guess. So how would that feel to us this morning if a priest of God would come and would lay his hands on us, and he would put the sins of all the people on us, and we would be taken by a very strong man, we'd be taken outside human habitation and left to die, to be killed by the wild animals, which is probably what happened with the goat, I'm guessing. How would that feel to us? I mean, I feel rejection just thinking about it. But that is exactly what Jesus did. He volunteered to come and do that for us. The reason he could do that without taking the rejection personally is because he identified correctly. He knew who he was. The Son of the Highest, the Son of God, the Savior. See, what had happened is, in the Garden of Eden, God had given the keys to man, the keys of the kingdom. When Satan came, the old snake came, and he deceived Eve, and Adam chose Eve over God, then Satan got the keys. So now Jesus needed to get those keys back to give them to the church. And how could he do that? Because Satan was in hell, and you can't go to hell unless you have what? Sin. You can't go to hell unless you have sin. So Jesus became the scapegoat. He took our sins. He covered, disguised himself in our sins. And he went to hell, and he took the devil by the throat, and he said, give me the keys. He took the keys, and he put those sins on the devil. So now the devil is a scapegoat. And I'm speaking in metaphors, but understand. So now Jesus brought the keys, and he gave the keys to the church. So when we come and we enter the kingdom of God and we walk in the Spirit, we're listening, we're connected to the Godhead through the Holy Spirit. The life of Christ is in us because we have identified Jesus correctly and we're walking in that in faith. He makes us part of that, of exercising. And he talks about that in Matthew 16, whatever you will bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven, given the keys. And that's not something that we can just do at will, but it has to be something that is coming from God. It's being directed by God, by the Spirit of God. It's not like the church has authority on our own. The church only has authority in the kingdom by being surrendered to Jesus Christ, the King. We must identify him correctly still today. And that brings us to the point there where Peter also, when Jesus came to the disciples and he asked them, who do men say that I am? And some say you're Elias, or some say you're John the Baptist, or some say you're some other prophet, Elias. And then he asked that important question that is very important for us this morning. Who do you say that I am? And Peter's expression, I love that. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but the Father hath revealed this to you. So it was like Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus the Christ, he couldn't deny himself. It had to be spoken. That confession had to be made. So God took the common fisherman, Peter, the impulsive guy, the guy that was going to deny Jesus. He took him and the Holy Spirit spoke to him and he put those words in his mouth and he spoke those words out of the mouth of this poor old Peter and he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He had to be identified. It had to be spoken. And I believe today God wants us to speak that. He wants us to declare that in the face of the devil. Victory over the devil. We are victors. We are more than conquerors. We are more than overcomers through Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, that Lamb that was slain, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. When we take the cross of Jesus on ourselves, that cross becomes an instrument of death to our will, to what we want to do. We are crucified with Christ, but we resurrect in newness of life, and now we live. But it's not us that's living anymore, but it's Christ living in us, and it's Christ living out of us. And we identify Jesus correctly, and Satan is defeated. The works of the devil are destroyed. Glory, hallelujah. Praise God for that. But you know, the devil always tries to beat us down. He always tries to bring those lies and plant those seeds of doubt back into our mind as long as we're here on this earth. But we have power. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. It's up to us if we want to connect to that power, if we want to be plugged in. Elton Krupp put something on Facebook yesterday, I think it was, about how he was walking in this supermarket and all of a sudden he heard a loud noise and he went over to investigate, and here there was an elderly couple there, and the elderly lady had bumped her shopping cart into glassware, and it knocked it off the shelf, and there was, you know, broken pieces on the floor, and she was down there kneeling and frantically trying to pick this up while her husband was taking the labels off of the broken pieces, and he was saying, see, now we're going to have to pay for all of this. And so Elton went over and knelt down with her to tell her, you know, not to worry about it. And about that time, I'm not sure, another young man came by. I'm not sure if he was an employee of the store or what, but he came over and he assured the lady, he said, don't worry about it. He said, we've got insurance to cover cases like this. And he said, we need to get your information, get you to a hospital to check out that wound in your hand. Evidently, she had cut herself with the glass. And then Elton brought out how that's exactly the way it is for us. You know, we are on our knees trying to put together, to pick up the broken pieces of our lives, and the devil is standing over us, hurling insults at us, saying, you know, see what you've done, see what a mess you've made, how it's hopeless, there is no hope. But then Jesus comes along, he kneels down beside us, he says, arm around us, don't worry about it. I've got insurance. My blood covers all that. It'll pay for this whole mess. It'll correct this whole situation. That is our Redeemer. And that is who Anna was looking for there in Luke chapter 2. For all who look for redemption, our Redeemer, identify him correctly. And I praise God for that. That Jesus was willing to become scapegoat so that he could be our Savior, our Redeemer. He correctly identifies as the Christ, the Son of God. And the song we sang this morning, unto us a child of hope is born. When we are hopeless, when we are in despair like that lady with the broken pieces of our lives, he comes and he gives us hope. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. It's identifying him as correctly as the Christ, the Savior, the Mediator, the Messiah, the Counselor, the Caring One, the One who loves us, our best friend. Let's kneel in prayer and worship.